Welcome to Miss Eugenia. It's good to see you and Billy in here. I've been saying hey to y'all over there for a year, but it's good to see you here. I know we've still got a few in the parking lot, and we're glad that they're here also, but it's good to see each of you. Now, I almost went into a panic this morning. We get here early, and I start getting my little announcements and everything ready, and every week, right over there, there's been a birthday calendar. And it was not there this morning. I'm like, oh, Lord. So I had to call Nan and get the one from the house. And so if I miss your birthday, it's because it wasn't on the calendar. So this week we had Kelly Murphy, McKay Swords, Chad Brooks, Miss Angie Gibbs, Jerry Harrell, Hannah Eubanks, and Mr. Ray Carter had a birthday. But Mr. Ray and Miss Helen also had an anniversary yesterday. So congratulations to everyone that made it another year. Sometimes those years get a little long. Sometimes they go real fast, but we're glad that you're here with us with that. All right, announcements. If you did not receive your Sunday school book, literature, or whatever this morning, Larry, you had it in the classrooms. So if you missed it or you didn't make it to Sunday school and you need a book, they're in your classrooms, and there's a few extras on the table in the fellowship hall. Also, the open windows devotional books are out there in the fellowship hall. And there were some Journeys or some other kind of magazines on the table by the water fountain. So if you're looking for something and you don't have it in the rooms or whatever, or ask Larry, he'll get it for you. Our January budget financial statement. Thank you, Richard, that I couldn't remember that upstairs. They are out here on this table just outside in the hallway right here. If you need a financial statement for January, you can get that. Alita asked me to announce the flower calendar for the current church year is in the kitchen on the wall on this side. If you have not signed up for the flower calendar, if you didn't know anything about the flower calendar, it's in there. Go write your name on it or whatever when you want to do flowers and in honor of somebody or a memory of somebody or just whatever. It's in there, so help the flower team with that. For those in the parking lot, there is an offering basket under the canopy right out there in front of the ferns and everything. So for those of you, I'm talking into the microphone looking at that. For those of you in the parking lot, if you've got an offering envelope or something, you want to put it in there, it's out there. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we will have our continuation of our church conference from last week. Remember last week we met, convened to hear from the nominating team, the pastor search team that they had put together, and we voted for that pastor search team, and they will begin their work, if they haven't already done so, to find us the next pastor for our church. So we'll meet tonight at 6 o'clock and we'll continue with our church conference. And also, we're going to have a special time of prayer during the conference for the search team. And all those seven individuals are charged with, you know, leading us or finding the one to lead us through the Lord's leadership of them. So it is very, very important that we continue to lift them up in our daily prayers. And again, tonight, we'd love to have you come and let's support them as they do the work that's set before them. So 6 o'clock tonight. We're going to meet in here? Meet in the sanctuary, okay. So we have enough room to spread out. All right, anybody else have an announcement from any group or anything that I've forgotten? Okay, we're hanging in there. All right, let's go to prayer requests and praises. Miss Joyce Kimbrell, which is Vivian Whitaker's sister, she had a stroke this week. That's all I know. I don't know severity, if she's in the hospital, if she's home, whatever. And so we need to be checking on that with Miss Joyce. My uncle, Gene Mobley, Mama's baby brother, is not doing well. His multiple myeloma cancer is progressing. The chemo they gave him, they had to stop because it was causing issues with his heart. He's been on morphine to kind of help the pain, and it's not doing anything. And so if y'all would remember Uncle Gene and Aunt Tommy, I'd appreciate that. Many of you may know or remember or have heard of Gene Melvin, Coach Melvin, that coached at SGA for a long time and then became a principal at Westover. And then when he retired from there, he went to Calhoun County for a few years and was a principal. He's not doing well. He's got a brain tumor, and he's going downhill real quick. I can just leave it at that. Dee told me about Miss Mary Jane Salter, who was a Langford originally from Cuthbert, passed away this week, and she had COVID. But she had three daughters and a granddaughter that had been to see her or were something.
They went to the hospital to tell her goodbye.
Okay.
Okay.
Anyway, the three daughters and a granddaughter had been to the hospital to say their goodbyes to her and were headed home, and somebody rear-ended their vehicle from the rear. And all four of them had to go to the hospital, right? But they were okay. Okay. So we need to remember that family. Mary Ruth told me about Val Hightower, who was Val DeLoach, has had a stroke this week. She's in Albany, but she's progressing. I mean, Alita mentioned Eli Phillips from down in Coquit, was in a motorcycle wreck and lost his life this week. We need to remember that family. There was, and Mike, I guess you and Nan and Chris have to define, well, there was one law officer, or maybe two, in Decatur County that got shot Friday night or last night. And had to life flight him to some Tallahassee, I guess. But we need to remember the law enforcement, not only there, but all of our law enforcement, our firemen, our EMTs, all the first responders that go out every day, y'all, and put their lives on the line for us. We need to keep them in our prayers. Chris mentioned his uncle. His aunt, Uncle Bob. His aunt, Miss Mary Jo Jenkins, had been in the hospital, and she was ready to go home, but they said she wasn't ready to go home, but she went home anyway, and she's not doing real well, and the Uncle Bob is not able to help take care of her very well, so we need to remember them. Linnell mentioned her sister-in-law again, Kim Collins, who had been in the hospital for a long time with COVID, and now she's been home, but she's developed a sore on her foot, and they might have to do some surgery on that. So we need to remember her. Those of you that live in and around the city of Arlington, the election that is taking place, early voting started this last week and will go again this week. John? Okay. The city elections in Arlington. Chris informed us this morning that he and Kim are going to have a new daughter. Now, Kim, that's exactly how he said it. And the first question was, just let your mind wander. Anyway, they're getting a daughter-in-law, or a daughter-in-love, I guess I've heard it said now. So Austin proposed to his girlfriend, and so that's really neat. Another praise is the fact that we were able to get back in Sunday school today, y'all. It just can't be emphasized enough. We need to certainly continue to remember Ryan as he steps up and speaks more often, and as he's taking on more of a role, the daily role here at the church, we need to continue to lift him up in prayer. And also, we need to remember Nick McGahey and his family. That's Jimmy and Faith's oldest son, so we need to remember them. Any more prayer requests? Anybody got any praises? Anything good this week other than what we've already mentioned? I know the sun came out for a few days, and that was good. That was good where I was at, so we're proud of that. Well, Hank. Oh yeah, I just asked him. Hank will be having surgery Thursday, March 4th, the outpatient supposedly. Yeah, so we need to remember Hank. Right knee, right leg, right. It's his right knee. So be in prayer for Hank. Anything else? All right, let's open then with a word of prayer this morning. Lord, we thank you for this another day that we can come to your house and we can worship you, Lord. And as we've mentioned in all of our Sunday school classes and here too, it was great to be able to get back into Sunday school and to have those small fellowship groups of believers as we study your word, as we see how we can apply it to our lives, and we thank you for it so much. And Lord, we pray for all the prayer requests that were mentioned this morning, that you would be with each situation, each person, each family. Lord, those that have lost loved ones, we ask that you just comfort them in the way that only you can do. We pray for our law enforcement people, Lord. We pray for our firemen, our EMTs, and all those who go out each day and put their lives on the line so that we might live easier, we might live safer, and we might live better. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for our president and our vice president, Lord. Even though we don't agree necessarily with everything, we still pray for them because, Lord, they're the authority right now. And we just ask that you help them to make wise decisions for each of us, for our country, for our world. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to bless us as we're going into this springtime season and the temperatures are changing and the farmers are getting ready to be in their fields to plant their crops and prepare their fields, and we just ask that you be with them. Lord, we thank you for this body of believers that we call Arlington Baptist Church, and we pray for our search team as they seek the one that you would have to be our next pastor, and we just ask that you undergird their efforts and lead them in the way that you would have them to go. And Lord, be with us as we go throughout this day, as we go throughout this week, that we can be a shining light for you. Forgive us, Lord, for the many times when we fail you, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to change, John. Okay. We got two songs this morning. And they're almost foot stomping songs. So I want you to stand up and lean to one side so your other foot can move a little bit. And let's sing "When We All Get to Heaven" and "Victory in Jesus."
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Amen, amen. All right, victory in Jesus.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. And I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing fire revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Hey guys, y'all enjoy Children's Church. I always feel like I mentioned this before, but I always feel want to just remind people. I went to a Christian college, North Greenville University, and we did have sports. We did have a football team, and our fight song, well, not really our fight song, but when we score touchdowns, they play Victory in Jesus. And when we got first downs, they just played, you know, just like the, I guess, shortened version. I don't know exactly what that's called. So there was a, you know, we weren't very good my first 2 years. So a lot of times I just heard like the shortened version. I didn't get to hear the whole chorus at football games. But, you know, my junior and senior year, we got a new quarterback. And I got to hear the chorus, you know, a few times a game. I always think that I just... always brings a smile to my face hearing that song. But we are in Ezekiel 37. We are in Ezekiel 37. As you turn there, let me pray for us, and then we'll jump right in. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you so much, God, for this time that we have to come and celebrate that we do have the victory in you, Lord, that we will have a time where we'll get to see you face to face, Lord. And as we read through this passage in Ezekiel, Lord, and Lord, there's times that I see myself in this passage as just going through this time of dry bones, this time of spiritual death, this time where it feels like I don't hear from you, I don't see you, Lord. But God, this passage is a reminder that you're always with us, that you will bring us back to life, and that you will restore us. Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us, God, that we can take these words to heart and walk out of here encouraged by you. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we're in Ezekiel 37 this morning, this is a very, I guess, somber passage. It's a very, it's a passage that, you know, we need to come to, and we need to be real with ourselves about it. And I'm going to say a phrase. I'm going to say this phrase is a metaphor. It may be an untimely metaphor that I probably should have said a year and a few months ago. Metaphors, for those that don't know what that is, maybe you're younger or you didn't pay attention in English class when they were going over that. Metaphors means that this is not like an actual thing we want you to do. But let me preface it by saying this is a mask that we wear, and we, you know, we hope that it helps, you know, protect us and protect those around us. But with that said, when we come to Ezekiel 37 and we read about the valley a dry bones. This morning, I really want y'all to take off the mask, to take off the persona that we come to that says, you know, we're always happy, we're always chipper, that life never gets us down, that we never feel this way. Because I'm going to be honest, as we read through Ezekiel 37, there's a lot of times in 2020 and before that I felt like I was going through this valley of dry bones. That I felt like I was going through this time where I just really didn't hear from God. I didn't really see God. And we're going to read, and we're going to find out why that is. And I think if each and every one of us are honest with ourselves, there's times, maybe it's right now, maybe you've just been so beaten down by what's been going on that you just feel like you're in this valley of death, this valley of dry bones. So we're just going to read the whole thing, and then we'll kind of break it down from there. We're going to start in verse 1, and Ezekiel writes, he says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know. He said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." So the first thing we're going to look at is that Ezekiel, this passage opens up with Ezekiel coming up on this valley. And in this valley, we see that this valley is full of dry bones. And we get a little indication of what exactly those bones represent in verse 11. In verse 11, it says that these bones represent the people of Israel. It says, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone and we are cut off." See, the people of Israel, they were at one of the lowest points of their history. We kind of hit on this last week, but the people of Israel, they had this great promise from God that he was going to, you know, give them a nation and give them a land, and they're going to live in the promised land, and the Lord is going to bless them and multiply them. But throughout their history, time and time again, Israel was unfaithful to the Lord. They had sin. They didn't take the warnings of the prophets seriously. And because of that, their punishment for that, their consequences for that, is that they were in exile. They were living in Assyria, or they were living in Babylon. They were scattered amongst these two nations. They were invaded. And they weren't in their homeland. They weren't close to their temple. They were unable to worship the Lord. Like, they were at a low point in their lives. And when they look back on and they see it and they think about it, they just say that our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. Because of the sin of Israel, because of the choices and the decisions that they made, that led Israel to their death. And understand that when Ezekiel is looking out and he sees this valley of dry bones, there's no other way to describe Israel than the fact that they were dead. They weren't in a rough patch. They weren't just sick. They weren't just, you know, they didn't just have, you know, the Monday blues or whatever they want to call it. Israel was dead. They were cut off from the Lord. And I think what these few verses in Ezekiel is showing us, when he's coming up on the valley of dry bones, I think this is a very apt picture. I think this is a very good picture of just the depravity of our sin. Yeah, you know, I feel like when we view our sin, when we view our relationship we got with God, we don't see just how serious our sin is. We think it's just a little something that, you know, it doesn't hurt anyone else. It doesn't really hurt me. It's something that, you know, yes, the Lord may be upset with me at this, but he'll eventually forgive me. But understand this, when we are living in a life that is in continual sin, when we're living in a life that's without repentance, then that sin cuts us off from the Lord. Like when Paul says that the wages of sin is death, he's not kidding there. He's not exaggerating there. If we are continuing to live in our sin, if we are continuing to live in a life that's disobedient to the Lord, then we can find ourselves like Israel did, that in this valley of dry bones, where they look up and they see where the life is and just says, like, we are cut off. There's no hope. There's nothing that we can do for ourselves. Our hope is gone. We're cut off from the Lord. Our sin is destructive. I think a common lie that we often hear is that the sin in our life, that's what brings us pleasure. And that's what brings us comfort. And that's, you know, if we just chase after these vices that we have, if we just chase after these desires that we have, if we chase after the sin in our life, then that's going to bring us joy. It may be temporary, but that's what's going to bring us joy. Understand, Ezekiel 37 rips that veil straight off. And it shows us the end result of a life that's unrepentant. It shows us the end result of a life that continues to live in sin, just as Israel had done. It leaves us cut off from the Lord. It leaves us dried up. And understand, like these bones were dead. Like there's no coming back from this. There's not a medical procedure that we can do. There's not a pill that we can take. There's no bit of technology that can make these dead, dry bones come back to life. And maybe some of you, that's the spot that you find yourself in. You find yourself in verse 11 where you just feel like your hope is gone. You feel like you're cut off from the Lord. You feel like you're hopeless and helpless. And there's times like I love in verse 3. I love what the Lord asks Ezekiel. He asks in verse 3. He says, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And Ezekiel's response, like Ezekiel knows that the Lord's kind of messing with him. He knows that the Lord's just trying to, you know, provoke him a little bit, because you can kind of hear the, not necessarily frustration, but you can kind of hear like you can kind of just hear it in his voice when he says, He says, "Sovereign Lord, like, you know, like you know that these bones have no hope. You know that these bones can't do anything for themselves. Of course these bones can't live." And what Ezekiel is saying, what the Lord is trying to say, is that there's nothing, when we find ourselves cut off from God, when we find ourselves in this time where we're helpless and hopeless apart from him, then there's nothing that we can do on our own. There's no self-help book. There's no, you know, motivational quote. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can say. There's no amount of just trying harder. There's no amount of "I'm going to get better next week" that can bring us out from this valley of dry bones. See, I feel like we just have this prideful tendency to try to fix ourselves when we're going through these times where it just feels hopeless and we feel lost and we feel like the weight of the world is upon us. We feel like we have to take that and fix it upon ourselves. But the Lord asks, he's like, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel basically says, of course these bones can't live. Of course they can't do this apart from themselves. The only thing, when we find ourselves in this helpless and hopeless state, the only thing that can bring the dead to life is Jesus Christ. That's our only hope. And that's the only thing that we should turn in towards. And so what we're going to see in verses 4 through 10 is we see the life that is promised to us when we come to the Lord during these times. And so in verse 4 it says that, you know, Ezekiel, he's standing over this valley of dry bones. And the next instruction is kind of like maybe something you don't necessarily think of. In verse 4, he says, "Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Now, I'm not saying this because, you know, I speak on a regular basis, but I think it's really interesting that the first advice that the Lord gives to Ezekiel, he basically tells Ezekiel to preach. He's like, yeah, you know, you're standing over this valley of dry bones. You're standing over this valley of this dead bones, this nation that is cut off from you. And his first advice is to preach the word of the Lord, to prophesy to what the Lord has said. And some of you, you know, I remember my very, very first time. I was 18 or 19, freshman, sophomore in college, and I got an opportunity to preach. It was at this, a church not much bigger than Arlington. And I remember there was this man, he was sitting like right where Richard and Lita are sitting, right in the middle. And I remember he had this like, not just like leaned over, like head cocked back, like eyes closed. I was like, this is what a first, 18 or 19 year old wants to see. It's just someone just like passed out, falling asleep to your sermons. It gave me all the confidence in the world. But for some of us, we think preaching's like, don't want to go there. Moving on. But the command that Ezekiel gets, he gets commanded to preach the word of the Lord. And I think that's really important for us because we live in this day and time where we feel like we just need a little bit of motivation. You know, we just need the next hashtag. We just need the next, colorful thing that you can put in a box on Facebook and it looks pretty and it's a motivational quote. And that's not what we need when we're going through this time. And I really hope that this church never resorts to, I really hope you never walk out here as just like, and you just hear a motivational speech. Because that motivation is not what saves us. What saves us, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it's only through the gospel that we hear about the Savior that can take us from our dead and dried up state, from our helpless and hopeless state that feels cut off from the Lord. It's only through Him that we're able to be reconnected. It's only through Him that we're able to be restored, which is what we're going to talk about in a few minutes. The Ezekiel gets told to preach my word to these people, prophesy about the hope that I have towards these people. And so maybe for you, maybe the what you walk away with today, like maybe you're good, but we all run into people that are hurting. We all run into people that are hopeless. And we would be remiss. We are doing them more harm than good when we exclude the gospel from our conversations, when we exclude the hope of Jesus Christ from our conversations. Yes, we're called to give words of encouragement. Yes, we're called to come in, and maybe it does take something that we say to people. But if we don't include the gospel in that, then we're leaving out the main thing that can bring people from death to life. Understand, I'll say it again, Israel wasn't just sick. They didn't just need to try harder. They were dead in their sins, and they needed something. They needed a divine intervention. They needed an outside source to come in and bring them life. And so the Ezekiel gets told to prophesy to these bones, say that the breath is about to enter into you, that the Lord is about to give you life. Like, notice, it's very interesting in verse 5. Notice how many times the Lord says I in this. He says, this is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. He says, I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. You see, Ezekiel is prophesying over these bones, and he's preaching to these bones, and he's giving this message to the people of Israel. And his message is that when you're hopeless and you're cut off and you feel like that there's nowhere for you to go, the responsibility doesn't fall on you to fix that. It doesn't fall on you to try harder. It doesn't fall on any ability that you may have. It falls it falls on the Lord. The Lord is the Jesus promised that He will bring life back into us. He says, "I will put my breath in you." And it's really interesting. This word for breath that Ezekiel used here is the same word for spirit. It's the same kind of language that we get for like the Spirit of God coming into us. And we see this word in a few different places. We see this word in Genesis chapter 2 when it says that the Lord breathed into Adam. It wasn't just physical oxygen that He was giving him, but it was the Lord's Spirit. We see this in 1 Timothy where it says that all Scripture is God-breathed. It means that the Spirit, God's Spirit, is over the Scripture. It's what gives it power. It's what gives it meaning. What the Lord is telling Ezekiel is that even though these bones are dead and even though these bones are without life, like the Lord's going to come along and He's going to put the life into them and He's going to put His Spirit into them. And what what Israel's reliance needed to be on was not in on themselves. They needed to rely on the Lord to come and give them life. You see, Scripture is very clear that apart from Jesus, apart from the Lord, that we can't have life. Like on our own, we are dead in our sins. We are dead in our trespasses. And so whether that's, you know, the physical life that we see in Genesis 2 or is that's a spiritual life that we see in this passage, we need the breath of God. We need the Spirit of God in our lives to be giving us life. And yet for so many of us, we look for this life and we look for this comfort and we look for this hope in other places. We go after it in areas that aren't going to bring us joy, that aren't going to bring us satisfaction. In fact, those things that we're looking in are probably the things that led us to this valley. They're probably the things that led us feeling like we're just dry bones, helpless and hopeless. We need to find the life in Jesus. He's the only one that gives us that. And so I want to ask you, is where are you finding your life? Where are you searching for this life, for this hope? It's not found in anything other than Jesus Christ. But we see later, in this last part, is that Jesus not only promised us to give us life, He doesn't promise us just to bring us back to life, but He promises to restore us. Let me read verses 12 through 14 again. Ezekiel writes, "Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them, and I will bring you back to Israel, back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my Spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." You see, it's really interesting. I don't want you to miss the significance of the Lord promising to Israel that He's going to put them back into their land. Because a big promise, a big part of God's promise, a big part of God's covenant that He had with the nation of Israel was that they were going to live in a land. And part of like them being taken over, part of them being sent away from that wasn't just the fact that, I mean, yeah, it wasn't fun for them to be in a foreign land. It wasn't fun for them to be under different rulers and under, you know, away from their home and away from their families. Like, yeah, that was part of it. But a big part of Israel's punishment, a big part of Israel's torment was the fact that they had messed up and they felt like, you know, this promised land that we were given us, this promised land that we were going to use to spread God's kingdom, that's now been taken away from us. And their worry was that the Lord, like, we messed up. The Lord, you know, we're not going to get this promise anymore. But in these few verses, the Lord promises Israel, He says, I'm not just going to bring life back into you, but I'm going to put you back into the promise that you know, I'm going to keep my promise to you. You might have messed up, and you might have broken your covenant, and you might have sinned, and this is on you, but because of my grace and because of my mercy, I'm going to place you back into to the land that I promised you. And see, this is what I love about Ezekiel. If you want a good quiet time, if anyone ever tells you, it's like, well, the Old Testament is just about God's wrath and God's judgment. That's true. There is a lot of wrath and judgment in the Old Testament. And there's a lot of places in Ezekiel that we could read. And it may make you blush with the way that the Lord describes Israel and her sin. But if you go back and read through Ezekiel, like I've been reading through this book throughout my quiet time, it is just dripping with the grace and mercy. It's like despite how you messed up, despite the fact that you broken my covenant, I'm going to restore the promise. I'm going to keep my promise to you. Like, God's grace and mercy is all over the book of Ezekiel, and I love it. But he says, I'm going to open up your grave, and I'm going to place you back into the land of Israel. I'm going to restore the promise that I had given to you. And see, this, I think this is important for us to realize, because the Lord's still doing this today. Like, maybe you feel like you messed up. Maybe you feel like you cut off. Maybe there's a sin in your life that you're still facing the consequences for it today. I don't know what that is, but maybe there's something that you just feel like you messed up so bad, and you feel like the Lord is done with you. Understand, what we see in these 14 verses is that not only does the Lord promise to bring life into us, to put His Spirit within us, but He also promises to restore us and to keep using us. That is an amazing promise that no matter what we do, if we return to the Lord, if we allow Him to restore us, to bring life into us, He's going to keep His promise to us. He's going to restore us back to where He wants us to be. And so He's not just breathing life into us to leave us on life support. He wants to restore us to where He originally wanted to be. Understand, if you're going through this time where it just feels like you're cut off from the Lord, and it feels like you're in the valley of dry bones. Like I said, I've been through this. I know what this year has been like. I know what it feels like, where it feels like the Lord is so distanced from you. What Ezekiel 37 verses 1 through 14 reminds us is that Jesus is not done with us. He wants to use us. He wants to restore us. You see, and the reason for all this, what we see, the reason for all this in verses 13 and 14, in verse 13, he says, "Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord." See, the reason why God is so gracious to us, the reason why God is so kind to us, the reason why God shows us mercy, because ultimately He knows that it's going to reflect His glory. And so the way that we respond to the Lord giving us our life back, the way that we respond to the Lord restoring us is that we now take this new life that we've been given, and we honor and we glorify Him with that. What does that look like? That looks like the way that you live amongst your family, the way that you live amongst your community points people to Christ. It looks like you sharing the gospel with your friends and families and pointing people to Christ. The Lord restores us, and He gives us our life back in order that He receives the glory from that. And so understand that you may be in a season of dry bones, and you may feel lost and disconnected from God. Understand that you are valuable to Him, and that He still wants to use you, and He's still restoring you through that. And so the gist of this message, the main thing that we can walk away from this message is that your valley of dry bones doesn't have to be forever. And I know when you're in the midst of it, I know when you're walking through it, it just feels like it's going to be forever. It feels like there's no hope in this. But we have the promise that if we simply humble ourselves and we allow Jesus to come into our life, and to breathe His Spirit, to breathe the Holy Spirit into our lives, and He will restore us, and He will bring that life back to us, and He will allow us to continue on to the purpose that He has called each and every one of us to do. And so the way that you can respond, maybe for some of you, you feel like you're in this. And the way that you respond is that you give that over to Jesus. And you trust that he'll restore you. And you trust that he'll breathe life back into you. It's not something that we can do on our own. It's not something that we just try a little bit harder or try a little bit, you know, try to do it next week. No, it's something that we humble ourselves and we bring that to him. Maybe for some of us, you come out of that season. And I want to encourage you, if that's you, to use that new life that the Lord has given you, use that to glorify him. Use that to point others to him. He didn't just bring you out of this life to have you stagnate again. He brought you out of this to fulfill his purpose for you. Wherever you are in life, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, just rejoice in the fact and understand that the Lord wants to show you grace and mercy today. He wants to give you new life today. If after we pray, if you haven't accepted that life, if you're going through that time, you need to talk to someone. Like, I'll be down here. There's deacons all around. I know it's a little weird, and maybe Mike, I haven't really talked about it, but maybe, you know, we start doing, you know, altar calls and stuff like that, you know, in the near future. Some of the health team's like, wait a minute now, you haven't spoken to us about that. I'm just kidding. But if that's you, if you want to talk to someone, understand that people are available and that this time it is still open. So let me pray for you and then you can respond and how you see fit. Dear Lord, we love you so much. We want to thank you for this message of grace and mercy. Lord, there's times where we all just feel like we're in this valley of dry bones. We feel like we're cut off and we're disconnected from you, Lord, and that there's no hope in this life. But Lord, what an awesome reminder that through those times that you're still working, through those times you're showing us grace and mercy. Lord, thank you for the promise that you'll breathe life back into us. Thank you for the promise that you will restore us to where you want us to be. God, if there's anyone in here that's going through that, Lord, I pray that today that they would turn their trust over to you. Lord, that today they rely on you to give them the new life. Or maybe it's people that have been following you for years and years and years, but it's just a season. It's a season where they just don't hear from you. It's a season where they feel cut off from you. Lord, I pray that you would show us a sin in that. You would show us what's holding us back from that, God, and that we would deal with it, that we would repent from that, and we would trust you to forgive us, Lord, and restore us. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I guess just remember tonight at 6 p.m., continue on in our business conference and a special prayer for our search team. And like I said, if you want to talk to someone, you need to talk to someone, I'm here, Mike's here, there's people around. But if there's no other announcements, then we love y'all, glad to see you, and we hope that you have a good week.